The following program contains the opinions of the host, guests, and call-in participants. These do not necessarily represent the views of this show's distributors or sponsors. This program may contain obscene, profane, or otherwise objectionable language. Viewer discretion is advised. Yeah, coming to your cordless, everybody. It's the old perv from Minneapolis. How you doing? It's 11:02 on the East Coast, 8:02 on the West Coast, 10:02 where I'm sitting here in Minneapolis in our little studio. And here's the deal. Oh, I'm Jim Peters, and this is Jim Peters at Night, and I'm watching the five-minute countdown go down, sunset thing we had going on. By the way, that music's awfully soothing, isn't it? It almost makes people go to sleep. But here's the deal. It gets to about the 140 mark, and I realize, Jesus Christ, I got to pee. Now, for those of you who've never done what I'm doing here or been on the radio or any of that sort of stuff, this is the nightmare scenario of doing this job. Did you ever see the final episode of the Larry Sanders Show? It was actually a two-parter where Larry did his final broadcast, and the entire show, he has to pee and can't get away to do it. And it's like, it's excruciating to watch. Because this, I got to be honest, I've been doing this for years and years. This has very seldom happened to me, maybe two or three times. So, you know, it's like, but, you know, I think we'll manage because my prostate's good. What can I tell you? And also, I also want to tell you about the fact that we're going to have kind of a truncated show tonight, which means I'm probably going to talk for like a half an hour or 40 minutes. Instead of like last night, 75 minutes nonstop. Although I have to say, we got pretty good comments on last night's episode. People liked the fact that we did not do political news, and we didn't. It was an entire political free show. It was UFOs and UFOs and UFOs and those damn extraterrestrials, and we had a good time. And people seemed to like it. The numbers on Rumble were kind of up today, and I was kind of happy about that. So that's kind of good. But we're going to do a truncated show tonight because tomorrow night our guest is going to be Dr. Patrick Moore, climatologist and former founder of Greenpeace. And I've been trying to get this guy on. We thought we booked him 3 weeks ago. We got our signals crossed. He couldn't do it. He was on my radio show about a year ago. Matter of fact, I think it was August of 2022, if I'm right. And he wrote a book on August of 2021 that was called... Oh, shit. I'm not going to forget the name of his book. It's called, just a second, hold on, Fake Invisible Catastrophes and Threats of Doom. That's what his book is called. And it's basically about the fact that, well, it's mostly about climate change, which he's an expert at. This book, it's 200 pages. He completely debunks the China climate change bullshit, totally. And the thing is, now we're going to put a link up in our blog after his interview, because you, honest to God, you should buy this book. You should read this. It's a little scientifically dense. I mean, he explained this to the average person as well as can be explained. But like he says, climate change is one of the single most complex things in all of science. So it's not an easy read. I won't say it's difficult either, but there are some graphs and charts in there and that sort of thing. I was going to say formulas, but I actually don't think there's any formulas. But there are graphs and charts, and he explains, he really, really eviscerates this. I mean, he says one of the reasons he quit Greenpeace, there are two reasons, and I'm sure he'll talk about this last night or tomorrow night. He said it was because Greenpeace had become basically another money-grabbing corporate organization. He said it completely lost its mission and now existed only to make money. And secondly, because he came to the conclusion that climate change was complete bunk and he had to say something about it. So he wrote this book. He is arguably with Michael Schellenberger, who I'm hoping maybe somebody will come on the show too. He's with Michael Schellenberger. He's arguably the single biggest scientist denying, he hates the term denying climate change, because he says they came up with the term climate change deniers to invoke the Holocaust. And I never thought about that, but yeah, okay, that makes sense. You know, what do you call people who don't think the Holocaust was real? You call them Holocaust deniers. And he says that's the reason they use the term for climate change too. So anyway, this is gonna. I'm doing the interview at 9 o'clock in the morning, and you may not believe this. This is live. I'm actually sitting in my stupid little studio in Northeast Minneapolis, and you know the delay to where you're at because of the intertubes and the satellites is probably only 2 or 3 seconds. So yeah, no, we're doing this live. So in other words, I basically get off here around 11:30. No pun intended. But so usually I don't get to bed until about 2 o'clock, but I got this interview at 9 o'clock and it's really important. And so I think I mentioned previously when Dr. Moore was on my radio show a year ago, we got more comments from that interview than any single one we've ever done. So I'm kind of thinking the same thing's going to happen here. So anyway, you should, if you can tune in tomorrow, or at least watch the replay, you know. I suggest you watch on Rumble and YouTube are the obvious places to watch them. Also, you can watch the replays on our website at jimandknight.com. They're fed in directly from YouTube, so you can watch them there too. If you go to the top menu, it's episodes, and there's little thumbnails there. They're all listed in reverse chronological order. The other thing, another thing I haven't announced tonight is that we finally got our shit together here. So we are going to be broadcasting live starting on Monday on Spreaker Live, which is basically the major competitor to the previous system we were using, which I'm no longer going to name because I don't want to badmouth these people. The problem wasn't that they didn't do a good job or it's not a worthy service. We have very unusual technical demands here, and our system did not mesh with theirs. That's what it came down to, and that's the reason we had so many problems. So we know Spreaker will work because I've used Spreaker previously. So so here's the deal. If you want to listen only live, you have to get the Spreaker app, which is available both for Android and iOS, and go to the live section while we're on the air, and we come up. That's the way it works. Otherwise, all of these are going to be archived as audio-only podcasts and sent out and distributed through the inner tubes as podcasts. And so we'll have that going on too. We never really got that going with our previous service because of all the technical problems we had. But we know how this works because my previous radio shows used this too. So I know I won't get into why I decided to switch and all this sort of stuff. And I don't want to put those people down. Like I said, there is... You know, if they are a worthy competitor, and if you want a good podcast service host, I can't not recommend them. But for what we're doing, it didn't work, and what we're doing here is really weird. So, that's the thing. We will be live on Spreaker Live on Monday. We'll have a post on our blog about that, and all of those episodes will be sent out as audio only podcasts, like the Apple Podcasts and all that sort of shit. So that's what's going on here. So now, if you read the description of our show tonight, the description is called, it's called Celebrity Night. And here's, I'm going to read the description that we posted everywhere. Maybe the title's a little misleading. That's in the description. Jim does not have any celebrities on. We don't have any celebrity. We don't have a guest tonight, but he'll discuss the intersection of celebrity culture and politics and how that affects misinformation from the lamestream media. And as always, your video phone calls. And here's the deal. You can call up. You see this right down here? Yeah. JimandKnight.com/call. Okay. This is our 23rd show. I'm going to go through this drill again. We don't take phone-in phone calls here. We don't. We take video phone calls. And you're wondering, well, Jim, how do you know I do that? Do I need a Zoom app? Or do I need to download something? No, you don't need to download anything. Well, you need to use the Google Chrome web browser, but almost everybody has one on their system. So that's the only caveat here. You have to use a Google Chrome web browser. If you use any other web browser, you will get an error message. So you go to that URL right here, jimandknight.com/call. There's a big blue button at the top of the screen. You press the button, you end up in a preview page where you get to check out your camera and microphone, and when you push join at the bottom, you end up in the queue. It's simple as pie. Now, I've said this before, we have not got a lot of calls on the last 22 shows, but we have had some. I've asked every single person who's called in, was this hard to do? And every single person said, no, it was easy. Okay, you can do this too. And if you're a celebrity, call up so we can argue about this shit. So, I'm a goofball. What the hell? Okay, so that's the description of tonight's show, Celebrity Night. And I'm going to read you five headlines. I'll be honest. I've basically been prepping for my interview with Dr. Moore all day because this is really scientifically complex stuff. But that said, you know, I did put a show together this morning. I kind of wake up, you know, at 10 o'clock and clear my head and get on the news, the inner tube, and go through the news, and things come to me. So this is what I found. I found five headlines this morning. So you tell me, I'm going to read them, and you tell me what all these headlines have in common. Here's the first one. Chris Christie says Trump is likely to commit... likely committed witness tampering or obstruction of justice. There's one. Second one. Russell Brand's Australian tour canceled amid sexual assault allegations. There's two. Here's three. Ex-Anheuser-Busch employees accuse company of cowardice over the Dylan Mulvaney backlash. That's four. And is that three? Holy God, I can't count. Anyway, here's another one, and this is our thumbnail tonight features this woman. Left wing Taylor Swift pushes fans to register to vote to be at the starting line of the next presidential election. And finally, Howard Stern scolds his fans. He says, "I'm woke, motherfucker, and I love it." I can say motherfucker here. So you tell me, what do all those things have in common? Well, I'll tell you, well, first of all, you probably got the initial gist. They're all basically celebrities, including Chris Christie. He's a political celebrity, including that. But that's not really why I put them on the list. Basically, they're all paid shills. They're all, these people have all, this is my theory. Now, this is a theory, it's speculation. I want to point out, I do not have any evidence of this at all. I am speculating here. But I think when it comes to Chris Christie, I've said this previously, I think he's being paid by somebody to run for the Republican nomination because all he does is bash Trump. That's all he does. His campaign is not about anything what he would do whatsoever. I really think somebody in the DNC or some big donor said, here, Chris, we'll give you $500,000. Run for the RNC nomination and bash Trump. Because he's not going to win. He knows he's not. He's, you know, why is he in it? And not only that, like I said, there's no positive influence or from his campaign at all. It's only about bashing Trump. So I want to go on here. And the second thing on this list was about the fact that Russell Brand's Australian tour has been canceled because of his sexual assault allegations. So he's been accused, Russell Brand has been accused by four women of basically various types of sexual assault, rape or, lesser kinds. One is, believe it or not, just being controlling in a relationship, which is not a crime whatsoever, and I'm going to get to that in a second. But all of this stuff happened before 2013. Matter of fact, one of the allegations goes back to 2006. I want to read something. This is a quote out of a Breitbart article where I'm basically quoting the four women. So they gave their story to the Sunday Times of London. And here's the quote. The Sunday Times said that the four women decided to go public with their allegations, quote, only after being approached by reporters, unquote, and that some of them were motivated by, quote, Brand's newfound prominence as an online personality. So all of these allegations are at least 10 years old. Why now? If this guy committed rape, why didn't you go to the police like the next day? Or even like, the, you know, within the month? It's the same thing that's going on with the thing, you know, with Trump and this woman that's accused him, I can't remember her name, where she won her civil case of sexual assault, but that was 30 years ago. You know, I mean, first of all, there should, I'm not saying this stuff didn't happen, but shouldn't there be some sort of statute of limitations on this? Now, in most states, there aren't, one from what I understand. There isn't for murder, and there generally isn't for rape. But 30 years ago, you waited 30 years to tell the police that Donald Trump raped you? You waited 30 years? Why did you do it now? I'll tell you why you did it now, because he's running for president. That's why. And the same thing would happen with Christine Blasey Ford during the Kavanaugh trial. So I'll tell you what happened. Once again, I'm speculating here. I don't have any proof of this, but I feel pretty strongly about this. Someone in the DNC, I think she thinks they go down a database. I think they have a database of either donors or who they know is hardcore supporters. And they approached a certain number of women and said, look, here's the deal. We'd like you to go to testify that Brett Kavanaugh raped you, and we will either pay you a bunch of money or we're asking you to do it as a favor to your country. Because democracy is going to collapse if you don't. And these people actually believe that shit. So they found, apparently, you know, some sort of geographic match or something that Blasey Ford grew up close to Kavanaugh or something, and they found her, and they asked her to do this, and it was a complete, utter, total fucking lie. Totally. And the reason we know it was a lie is because the four witnesses she claimed that saw this attack, all four of them said they didn't know what the fuck she was talking about. One of them said afterwards, and this basically barely made the news, but it did. It was buried like in the New York Times. One of them said that somebody approached them and offered them a large amount of money to change their story. Well, geez, I wonder who did that. I wonder who would have a large amount of money to offer to change their story. And why would you do that? You know, what, to save the Republic from a conservative Supreme Court justice? Because otherwise democracy is going to go to hell. I mean, that's what happened here. This woman just blatantly lied, and I think somebody put her up to it. And the reason I know that, and this, you know, this is the really strange thing. So last night we did an entire show on UFOs, and I said this during the show, and I'm going to say this again, and I'm hoping we have some Stan Gordon's coming here in January. You know, we got a couple other investigators coming on. And the weird thing about all of that is that I've said I'm almost as, what I told Stan Gordon while we were talking, setting this interview, I'm almost as fascinated by how the press and the politics behind UFO disclosure than the actual UFOs and the ETs themselves. Because this has been going on for 70 years. I mean, what we reported last night, what happened yesterday is that the Congress, one of the committees in Congress headed by Tim Burchett, I got off the top of my head, I can't remember what the name of that committee is, but they asked the Inspector General of, what is it called? Of the Intelligence Community. It's the ICIG, the Intelligence Community Inspector General. That's a title, believe it or not, that's a guy. They asked him, you know, can you look into these claims about the fact that we have crashed extraterrestrial spacecraft and we're reverse engineering them under some black budget program? They asked him to look into that. And they said, no, we're not going to do that. Yeah, you have an order by Congress, and they just said, we'll get around to it, you know. What they said is that we've never done an audit of this before. But they never mentioned about anything about doing it. It's like, it's crazy, you know. So I'm going to give you a story here. Was it 1971 when Travis Walton said he was abducted by the aliens? So that story, okay, so the reason that Travis Walton's story is significant is because there were six witnesses to his abduction, or what appeared to be his abduction anyway. There were six witnesses out in the forest who saw this. Every single one of them, at some point, has been given a lie detector test, and all of them have passed. Actually, I'll be precise here. One of them came up inconclusive. But they've been giving these tests numerous times. Of the numerous times they've all been tested, virtually all of them, they've never failed a test. That's a better way for me to put it. You know, so they haven't necessarily passed the test. This one guy, one time, came up inconclusive, but the other tests, they've all passed. So this guy, and I can't remember his name, one of those six witnesses is sitting in his house, and this happened in Colorado, was it? I can't remember that either. But he's sitting in his house, and all of a sudden he gets a knock on his door. He lives in the forest. He lives in the woods in the middle of nowhere. He gets a knock on his door from Philip Klass. Now, if you don't know who Philip Klass is, he was the primary UFO skeptic and debunker until he died in, what was it, 2009 or something like that. Oh, actually, his influence started to wane because I think the government finally figured out that he was too stern in his... The newer approach is that you get a guy like Michael Shermer. I have no idea if he's getting paid or not, but I do know that if CNN is a story on UFOs, he's the guy they get to counter it. He was on... Klass and Shermer were on Larry King Live. And you got to give Larry credit. He's passed away now, Larry. But he was the only person who really did any stories on this, you know, for like years and years. So I can't remember. Larry started, I think, on CNN in 92 or something. Am I right about that? Because CNN didn't even start till 1980. So I don't know when he actually started. But he regularly did shows on the UFOs. But the thing is, they always had a debunker there. And I don't know if that was the government told them, yeah, you can do the show, but you have to have one of these guys. Klass was famous for basically making up anything that would satisfy the situation and make it look like this was bullshit. Shermer's taken a more nuanced approach. And he's actually a scientist, too, a trained scientist. He will say, well, you know, we don't have any evidence. You know, this, you know, extraordinary claims and extraordinary proof. He will couch it better. Klass was just like a sledgehammer. But anyway, so that's the point is, this guy, getting back to the story, he's living in the woods in the middle of nowhere. And who shows up at his door? Philip Klass. And he recognizes Philip. And Philip, here's the deal. Philip offered him, this is in 1978 money, $50,000 to change his story. Now, adjusted for inflation, that's about $250,000 now. It's a lot. It was a lot of money in 1978. And so the real question is Philip offering his own money? Why would he do that? He doesn't have any horse in this fight, you know? No, someone gave the money to Philip to have him do it. And it's been long rumored that Philip was being paid by the government. I feel quite strongly that that's probably true. Once again, I'm speculating. I don't have any evidence. But although if you could look at that story as evidence, because certainly it may not be proof, but it's definitely evidence, because Philip was not offering $50,000 of his own money. So my point is, this has been going on for years and years and years under all sorts of pretenses. So either somebody offered Christine Baisley Ford some money to do this, or they literally appealed to her better instincts and said, democracy is going to collapse if you don't do this. Because we know that Operation Nightingale, that also started in the 1970s, the CIA paid 400 of the most prominent journalists in the United States to either not report stories or report them wrong, based on what the feedback the CIA would actually call up and say, please don't print this or change this fact, you know, right, okay? But amazingly, although the CIA offered all these 400 journalists money, some of them didn't even take the money. They said they did it out of what they said, patriotic duty. Because, that was up until Watergate. People thought if the government asked you to do something, people thought you should do it. Excuse me, pardon me. I'm picking my nose on television. It's terrible. So anyway, I get back to this thing about, okay, Russell Brand. 10 years old, these allegations are at least 10 years old. Why now? Why? Oh, because Brand all of a sudden has gone off script. He's no longer a left-wing advocate. He's now on YouTube. He's spouting right-wing shit, and he has to be stopped. That's what I think. That's what Brand thinks. John Nolte wrote a column on this in Breitbart today, and he said, and it does need to be emphasized that we don't actually know if this shit happened or not, but the timing sure is fucking suspicious. And also, then you think about Nolte also brought up the examples I've been brought up. He had a lot more. He has a list of like four, 40 of them that the mainstream media has lied to us about in the last 10 years. All of them completely not true. Doesn't matter. They go on to the next thing. Now, conversely, I'm going to throw this in too, because I think this matters. And you know, I spent a lot of time here talking about the media. CNN, this last weekend, their ratings hit an all-time historic low. There are no cable records for ratings before 1992. But since 1992, so what is that, 31 years? They had the lowest ratings this weekend than they've ever had ever. Only 50,000 people apparently watched, which is, and the amazing thing is, Nolte points out, for I've said anything under a million total viewers in cable is considered nothing. Then there's the measure of what's called the demo, and that's people between 25 and 54. That's the advertising community uses that as a benchmark. That's who they want to know who those people are. Well, anything under 100,000 for the demo is considered nothing, and CNN didn't even make 50,000. It's really, really, really hilarious, and really, it's like it's terrible for them. But so you wonder, how do they stay on the air? I'll tell you how they stay on the air: the carriage fees. If you have cable or equivalent like Hulu Live or YouTube TV or any of that sort of stuff, or any cable equivalent, what's called live linear television, you are paying, part of your cable bill goes to CNN, and whether you watch or not doesn't matter. They get a part of that. They get a little bit. The average is 17 cents a channel per user. But CNN, because of their legacy media, they've been around forever, they get about $1, $1.50. So there's about a, right now, I don't know, I think there's a little less than 100 million viewers or cable subscribers in the United States, which means right off the top, CNN is getting $100 million a month. It doesn't even matter whether anybody watches. It could be zero. And yeah, they get that money. So they got well over $1 billion coming a year before they sell a single commercial. It's a racket. And that's the reason, cable television is so damn lucrative. Now you're saying, well, I don't want to pay that. But here's the problem. If they're going to offer cable TV to a vast number of subscribers, you know, some people want to watch CNN. Apparently not many anymore. Although this is going to be interesting. What's going to happen here, this partly happened because of the writers and actors strike. But CNN, or Charter Communications, which is the second largest cable operator in America after Comcast, they have taken ESPN off the air. Because ESPN is the high, you know, that number I was telling you, 17 cents a dollar. ESPN and their family of channels, ESPN2, ESPNU, ESPN News, blah, 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 ESPN, you know? I don't know what happened there. Sorry. But, okay. So I was saying, Comcast is, or Charter Communications is refusing to pay for ESPN. ESPN charges $7 a subscriber, which is an enormous amount. It's way more than everybody else. And they're balking because CNN's ratings have gone really down in the last couple of years. And also the fact that in the first quarter of this year alone, in the first 3 months of this year, 7% of the people who have cable television or the equivalent dropped it. Cable television is going to hell because people have refused to pay for it. I have Hulu Live at home, and it's going up from $70 to $90 a month this month, and I'm going to drop it. I am. It's like, that's bullshit. I refuse to pay $90 for this. This is crap. It's regardless of the fact that I can afford it, I just refuse. I won't do it. I'm not going to fund all this bullshit that I don't want. I mean, I basically watched 12 channels at the most. So I'm trying to figure out how to put this together. But ESPN says they are going to, what they're going to do is they might start offering ESPN channels what they call over the top, which means that you would have to download like an app on Roku on your Fire Stick or whatever it is, and then you would pay ESPN completely separately. They're probably going to charge $5-6 a month for that, you know. Disney Plus is completely tanking, totally. That's might go the way of CNN Plus. David joined. Oh, we got a caller. I'm taking it. Here we go. David, it's you.
Jim. Hi.
David, how are you? I'm good. Yourself?
Very good. I didn't want to call you too often because I don't want to wear out my welcome.
No. You never would wear off your welcome. You should call as much as you want. Yeah.
I appreciate it. But referring to celebrities, I liked your story a little bit yesterday's show about Jackie Gleason and Richard Nixon.
Yeah. Isn't that amazing?
That's pretty good, actually.
The amazing thing about that story, now, for people who didn't hear it, let me fill that in. I was talking about the fact that Jackie Gleason and Richard Nixon were legitimate bona fide friends, not any sort of celebrity friends. They were real friends. And so for his birthday once, Nixon goes, while he's president, he goes and picks up Gleason and takes him, drives him to an Air Force base and shows him the dead aliens there in the coffins. And Gleason flips out. But the real amazing thing about that story, David, is the president of the United States was driving a sedan, which you couldn't get away with now at all, you know?
Yes.
He drove to Gleason's house. I think it was 1972, I think. I'm not sure, but anyway. You were alive then.
Oh, I was knee deep in school.
Yeah, yeah.
Hey, speaking of CNN, I remember when they came online. It was a Ted Turner deal.
Yeah.
And actually, in the old days, they were great.
Oh, they were
absolutely great.
Till roughly 10 years ago, right? They really were. I totally agree.
Yeah, then I don't know. Sometime they kind of morphed to I don't know, something else.
Everyone hated Trump. You know, that was the thing. And that was the start of... Well, the amazing thing is, you know, Trump actually increased their ratings greatly for a while. Because Trump does that.
Well, yeah, he has a huge following, yes.
Yeah. Well, it's just that. Even the people that hate Trump want to watch Trump. You know, that's the thing. It's like, you know...
But it's sad because, as I say, they were... At the beginning, they were kind of revolutionary.
Yes. Well, they were totally revolutionary. People thought it wouldn't work. People thought Turner was nuts. What, you're going to broadcast the news 24 hours a day?
If I remember, they also had something else called Headline News, I think.
Yeah, they did. Yeah.
And that came kind of like blurps all night.
Right. It was news on a half-hour loop. Right. That's right. That's what it was. Yeah. But you have to understand, CNN was basically the first dedicated cable channel. MTV didn't come along until a year later. So... You know, they were on cable and they went over the air and nobody had ever done that before. And then you're going to broadcast the news 24 hours a day. There's, you know, everyone thought they were crazy.
Yeah. You know, speaking of the cost of the cable TV, I remember when it kind of first started to get popular, the whole deal was, if I remember, is that you paid for cable because there was no commercials.
Well, right. That's absolutely correct. That was the right? That was the idea. It was commercial-free television,
if
right.
I remember, I'm not that senile yet.
Yeah, no, you're not. No, you're absolutely right.
So it kind of morphed in, you got to pay more and commercials.
That's right. And then, yeah, then they stuck the commercials in after you're paying for it. It's like, Jesus Christ, it was awful.
I mean, all that crap is easy money, basically, right?
Oh, totally. It still is easy money. You know,
that's bullshit. I mean, my mom, I got her, this was years ago before she passed away. I mean, anyway, DirecTV with that little satellite dish.
Yeah.
I had it when it first came out. Actually, it was quite fabulous.
It was
great.
Hey, did you have any trouble when it rained?
No.
Oh,
no.
That's good.
Once in a great while, not often, if it would be, because I'm here in San Francisco, if it was very, very dense clouds.
Uh-huh.
It might stop for a little bit then come back. So basically no problems.
That's pretty cool.
But the image quality was perfect.
I've heard people say that's the only complaint I've ever heard about it. That's a fabulous service, but sometimes in bad weather it shuts down because as I say,
obviously it depends. I mean, if you're living you know, where storms are all the time, maybe it would be tough, but I can't complain about it. But
yeah.
Anyway, she had everything about, geez, like 200 stations, right? So out of the 200 stations, she only watched regularly maybe 10 or 12. That's it. The rest of it was bullshit.
Right.
Bullshit.
Yes, correct.
And at that time, we're talking 10 years ago, she was paying about $180 a month 10 years ago.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that's including the NBA package because she liked Michael Jordan and so forth. So I got her the NBA package. I think at that time it was maybe $50 or $60 separate.
Uh-huh. Well, I just read this the other day, David, last week, about the fact that the average cable bill in America right now is still, it's $124. That's the average.
Yeah, I heard that too. Yeah.
And I have a friend who literally pays, I mean, he's very wealthy. He pays $300 a month. He has everything, but still, it's like shit.
It's sad because they're pushing that crap down your throat. See, I always told my friends, I said, like for instance, I have my internet service is Comcast or Xfinity, right?
Uh huh.
And I only have internet and the telephone. I have a direct dial telephone also.
Uh huh.
Anyway, they have a package of telling you is they're saying for $20 a month. We'll let you stream 20 channels, okay?
Yeah.
That's off the top, that sounds great. 20 channels you stream, $20 a month, fine. I looked at the channels, and for me, none of them I give a shit about.
Right.
Zero.
Right.
So I would say, Comcast, look, let me pick four channels, and I'll give you a $20 bill.
doesn't yeah.
happen.
No.
I'm okay with that because that's the stuff I want to watch.
Right, but they won't let you do it. They don't
well,
because.
So screw them.
Right.
I don't give a shit.
Well, I know. It's somebody needs to put this together, but the problem is because there's so many different cable providers and it gets so convoluted regarding the billing, nobody wants to deal with it.
It's pathetic. So I use over the air stuff. And I stream stuff.
Yeah, it's more astonishing. People are going back to over-the-air television. You know, it's free.
I get a few channels that I like, and I stream, and I use my Amazon Prime because I get they have movies and things. It was just good enough.
Yeah,
I don't need the number one movie. I'm okay with stuff.
Right.
And I use a lot of since I'm old and I like older.
You're
shows
40, right?
My pardon, sir?
You're 40, right?
Yeah, add 30 to it.
I still can't get over how old you are, man. I just can't. It's unbelievable.
I just got this thing the other day. Let's see. From these people, can you see that?
Yeah, I can. I know what that is.
Yeah, they want me to sign up for it. I'm going to do it when I turn 70.
You you better tell people what it is though. They don't know. I know what it is.
That's if you're able to get Social Security,
right.
You should sign up for it.
That's right. That's right.
So I look at it as kind of like a bullshit thing. But anyway,
well, you did pay in.
Well, I paid, sure. I always pay.
Yeah, in. I know.
Nothing's free, you know.
Yeah.
But anyway, I was going to ask you again about celebrities. I went to a show. Well, actually, let me step back. You said you are a musician.
Yes, I am.
Now, what instrument did you play?
All right. I was an orchestra conductor.
Okay, okay.
Yeah.
Well, that's a musician, absolutely.
Yeah,
You got to read the music, right?
I play piano and I play cello and double bass, but I made my career mostly as an orchestra conductor.
Okay, fine.
And I've never said that in here before because I don't. It's like it's too convoluted. Then people ask me, "Why aren't you an orchestra conductor anymore?" And that's a really long story.
Well, I'm not going down that path.
Thank
All
you.
I know,
yeah.
As I've seen conductors and I see how they spread out the music, it's pretty tough.
Yeah. Yes,
I won't leave it at that.
I will say it's not an easy job, but if you can do it, it's very satisfying. Job.
Anyway, yeah. So I went to a music show, kind of a celebrity, I guess, in the music business. I went to a music show last Friday. It was at the San Francisco Jazz Center. Very nice place, actually.
Uh-huh.
Very nice. And I see this guy by the name of Van Morrison.
Oh, shit. Was he playing?
Yes. It was Van Morrison. He's 76.
And he's a cantankerous old man, from what I understand.
I tell you, it's like a machine. The show starts at 7:30. The orchestra, the little orchestra, I think it's about maybe 10 10 people, including two singers.
Yeah.
Comes out there, 7:30, bam, just marches out there. Next thing you know, they start playing, and he just whips through stuff. Doesn't talk too much in between things, not too much. He played for 45 minutes. It's unbelievable.
Yeah.
Well, not 4 minutes. I'm sorry. He played
90 minutes, right?
90 minutes. Right. 90 minutes. I'm sorry.
That's a standard contract thing, right?
Yeah. Unbelievable.
Well, first of all, the guy's written about a half a dozen songs that are basically going to be in the Great American Songbook forever. I mean, it's like he's a fantastic songwriter, you know.
The guy, I mean, he just spits things out. He's amazing to see. So I would look at him as like a celebrity in the music business.
Yeah, I ain't gonna admit I'm most envious for you going to that concert. I would have went in a second too.
It was high. The ticket price was $250 a person. Not too cheap, but whatever, you know.
Yeah. All right. How many people were in the hall?
It's small. It's maybe a little over 500, maybe 600 or so.
No, yeah.
It's a very intimate place. Beautiful, beautiful.
That sounds. Might be the reason the ticket prices are so high. But
well, yes and no. It depends. Yeah. Now, also, I'm going to a show. It's down not too far from San Jose. It's called Saratoga.
Yeah,
which is kind of a upscale place.
I've actually been there. I know what you're talking about.
And they have a place there. It's called the Mountain Winery.
Yeah, right.
And they have shows there and so on and so on. So I'm seeing.
That's like an outdoor amphitheater, right?
Yes, correct. Right. Yes.
Yeah.
I'm seeing another fella that's, I think this is his last tour, is a guy by the name of Kenny Loggins.
Oh, yeah, of course.
Who's also kind of a celebrity.
Yeah.
And his ticket prices were over a couple hundred. Yeah, oh, yeah. And that place holds, I think, maybe almost 1,500, I think.
Uh-huh.
A lot of these acts, you know, they charge 200, 250, something, three. It just depends.
A lot of those acts from like from the 80s make more money now than they did then.
Oh, it's amazing.
Even adjusted for inflation, you know?
Yes,
Because no one ever made a shitload of money, you know, except for five people off of selling records. So, you know, but, you know, Kenny Loggins can charge $225 for a ticket, you know? God bless him.
Yeah, he got two shows and sold out.
Right.
Again, it's his last tour, and you know, he has a pretty good rap sheet in the music business.
Yeah, yeah. I actually did some math, and I was talking to my accountant, and we just did some table napkin math on how much money Taylor Swift is making per show, and we came up with from the tickets alone, not the merch even. At least $10 million off of every single show. It's a good limit you can put together.
Well, that's a good business, you know.
Yeah,
yeah. Well, I mean, it's interesting because the old days they didn't make that. You know, they didn't make big money. They
no
made money, good money.
They didn't. No. And go ahead.
Yeah, it's very similar, like the football players. In fact, I heard a few week ago that the Cincinnati quarterback Joe Burrow signs a contract. He'd be making $55 million a year.
Yeah, right.
Well, that's about a million a week. Well, what the hell's that about?
Not only that, it comes down to probably about what $3 or $4 million a game. You know, it's like
I remember the old days in the 70s. A lot of the football players on the off season sold car insurance or sold cars.
I still remember Gary Quazzo, who was the quarterback for the Minnesota Vikings. He was a dentist. I don't know why that's funny, but it is.
So yeah. it's amazing how that fee went up, you know, too much, you know.
Yeah, but the weird thing about that, David, is that if it's kind of, I was trying to explain this to a relative this weekend. There, the economies of football and baseball too, basically all the major, they really can't afford this because the only time these teams, well, there's a couple exceptions, but the only time they actually make any money is when the team is sold, and the prices for these teams go up exponentially year to year. You know.
Yes. Yes.
So you know the idea you buy a team, you hold on to it for 10 years, and then you sell it, and then you the owner, however how many there are, 10 or 12, whatever, they make a shitload of money. They actually can't afford these the contracts themselves. They can't afford them. You know. It's crazy.
No, Yeah, it's just out of sight, you know. I look at it that you know, the contracts are just way too much, so it pushes out the poor guy that wants to take his son to a game. He can't afford it.
No, not at all. I just read the average ticket price in the NFL across the 30 cities. The average ticket price is $334 a game.
Yeah, and I read that article, and I think they said the highest average ticket price for the arena was the Raiders. I think 400 and something.
Oh, shit. Well, yeah, that's so, Las Vegas. Of course it is. Yeah,
right. So I'm an old-time Raider guy because, say, in the 70s, they were fabulous. Today, they ain't worth a shit today.
Do you ever go down and see them since they moved?
No, I wouldn't go see them.
Yeah.
No. My friend, he had season tickets, so I used to go once in a while with him. So we went to a game, this was, I don't know, a year or two before they left. And I remember they always said Kansas City was coming into town, so it was a Kansas City game.
Uh-huh.
And they said, boy, you got to see this quarterback. Well, I don't know the players anymore. So the quarterback, I forget his name, but I wasn't impressed by him, but what I'm saying, I think the ticket price was like $150 a ticket.
Yeah, that would probably be about right. Right.
Yeah, that's crazy because I remember going to a playoff game in Oakland about 74-5. Houston Oilers were in town. That was the day that Earl Campbell comes in. Holy shit, man! Anyway, I mean, the ticket price was $7.50.
No shit. Really?
Yeah. Hell yeah. I
remember. Oh, my God.
The normal ticket price, well, I think, was $4.50 because my folks had season tickets, but the playoff was an extra $3.
Hey, did you hate that Oakland Stadium as much as other people did?
You know, I don't know. I mean, when I was started to go to it in the 70s, it wasn't that run. It was fairly new.
Yeah.
So it was okay. But I think later on it might got a little bad, but I don't think it was that bad. I don't know. I mean, the bathrooms were kind of funky. Here's a quick story. When I was going in the 70s, the people going to the games were basically family people,
uh-huh.
A man and his wife and a child or two, whatever, right?
Yeah.
It was all family. Now you kind of go there and it's like a bunch of people that came out of the penitentiary.
Right? Yeah.
So anyway.
Right.
But it's interesting because I before I went to the Raider games with my friend, I told him, I said, you know, I see the people on TV and I kind of see what they look like. I says, I'm kind of old. I don't want to be around riffraff.
Well, right now you get beat up. This guy, the Patriots, the New England, got killed.
This is
crazy. It's nuts.
It's pretty sad.
How do you tell your relatives, oh, my God, you know, Andy died at a football game? That's crazy.
Pretty sad.
It is. But it's awful.
I will say, my friend told me, he says, nah, don't worry about it. It's okay. Fine. So I remember going there. Actually, the people, they look kind of edgy, but actually they're quite nice. Actually, I mean, believe it or not, it's just but there's so much security around there and so forth. It's just unbelievable. What I was going to say is, so you know, I was enjoying the game, whatever. So I had to go because I had to go use the restroom, you know. So there's a line getting into it. So as you finally get into it, what's holding up the line is not. It's kind of going on the side. Where the guys do their business, it's on the other side where they have stalls.
Uh-huh. Because
everybody's in there doing drugs.
Oh, really?
A smoking.
Oh, smoke. My oh, God.
Yeah. That's crazy.
Jesus.
I said, first of all, why? I mean, I'm old-fashioned. I want to go to a game. I want to be sober. I want to enjoy the game. People go there, they're drunk and whatever.
Yeah, they do.
What the hell?
Society has changed, David.
It's sad, you know. It's quite sad, actually.
It is. People are, you know. This was just on the news this morning. What and where was? I don't know. You tell me. Was it in San Francisco where they've done Seattle. It was in Seattle where they're banning. They're doing an about face. They are banning outdoor public drug use, and people complained about this. I mean, it's like, fuck. I know. It's like, am I that fucking old? It's like, what the hell? And it's like,
I've been to Seattle years ago. Seattle was a very nice
It was
place.
a very beautiful city, I agree.
Beautiful. It's
Yeah.
kind of like a miniature San Francisco, but a
Right.
bit cleaner,
Right.
a little newer and cleaner.
Yeah. I've come to, I think I told you I have relatives in Silicon Valley. I've been coming to San Francisco all my life. And
Yeah.
I noticed even 10 years ago, it was already starting to slide downhill. It wasn't anything major, but it just wasn't the pristine, beautiful place that it had been in the years past, And I haven't been there, I think, 5 or 6 years. So,
Well, Jim, if you ever do Quebec, which I wouldn't recommend it, you'd be shocked. It's
yeah,
sad. It's quite
that's what
it's
that's the
sad.
impression I'm under. Yeah.
But that's what these people want.
Yeah.
All everybody in charge of different jobs, they're all liberals. They're all flaming
Yeah,
liberals.
they are.
That's what all of them,
And they
100%.
think this shit's gonna work,
Yeah, right. Yeah, right.
So today, last week, Illinois actually passed. There's the first state in the union to completely get rid of cash bail. No more bail. And the mayor of Chicago, who's they had this lefty lunatic Lori Lightfoot mayor, and they elected somebody even more to the left than her. It's really
Worse.
amazing. So
Yeah.
he's on the horn today saying about the fact that he thinks this is a wonderful thing. He thinks crimes are going to go down. He's wrong.
Crimes are gonna go down. What is he talking about?
No, I don't know. I don't know if he's parroting the party line or if he actually thinks it. I can't tell. But he thinks crimes are going to go down. And I'll tell him right now, he's wrong. You're wrong. It's not going to. It's going to go up. I predict.
They're not first since that bad behavior has been happening for such a long time. Every weekend there's shootings, right?
Yeah.
And they don't do anything about it. So
Yeah, no.
what does it tell you? That tells you they condone the behavior. Well, how else do you take
I
it?
know.
So in other words, they're okay with people killing each other and innocent people scared to go outside of their house. They're okay with that?
Well, I don't know. I don't, David, you go back with me a long way here. So I don't know if you ever heard this. One of my podcasts a couple of years ago, and I still remember the guy's name. I don't think he mentioned, bothered me mentioning it. His name was Ken Good, and he was the head of the Texas Bail Bondsman's Committee or, association. So I'm talking to him, and I just kind of asked, like, why is this shit happening? And he says, well, he says, you have to understand something. These lefty guys, these leftists, they think this is going to work, and the constant refrain that he said he heard from the bail community was that, oh, you haven't given it enough time. If you give it enough time, it will eventually work. And that's complete bullshit, of course. But
That's
Good
funny,
said
actually.
that's their line. That's their excuse. They say, no, you have to give this
That's
more time. It's going to work. No, it's not. It's not going to
no,
work. And why are they so dumb in the head that they think it's going to? That's the part I don't get. How stupid can you be? But
in fact, it's going to grow
right, no
exponential.
shit. And it's happening. It's already happening.
And if I remember my days, the exponential curve is pretty damn steep. Quick. Right,
Yeah, that's right. Well put.
but I don't want to get to the roots of it because they would call me a
That's
racist,
right. Well, no, you're a racist, David. I mean, I just know that. So,
because mathematics is racist, so
that's right. Right, math is racist. Yeah,
yes. So
yeah.
speaking of bail bondsman, are you gonna ever have a person on as a maybe a guest or whatever? Remember, Larry
Larry
Newman?
Newman.
Yeah.
I've been trying. Larry says he's going to come on, and I keep talking. I've been talking to Larry for 6 weeks, and so I don't know when he's going to come on or not. He wanted to come on with another guy. That was what we were waiting with. And I told him, "Well, screw this. This isn't going to work." I have to say, the guy who's going to come on is relatively well known, so and Larry knows him, so that was kind of the thing. But it's like, I just sent him. I called him a couple of weeks,
Yeah.
about a few days ago. I say I left.
Yeah.
I left a message. I said, Larry, just screw that guy. Just come on anyway, So I'm
Well,
still. I mean, hoping
yeah,
he'll
but
do
if it,
this.
yeah, but if because he's great,
He
I
is. He's
really enjoyed
fantastic.
listening to him
I
on the
know.
others on the
I
other
know.
stations.
Now I'm going to call him and tell him to watch this so that he can see all the
Yes.
nice things we said about
Yeah, exactly. And I would say, Larry, if you're looking in the camera,
Yeah.
if Jim's live show is too late for you, which I can understand, it's getting late, maybe you could do like a little recording another
Oh.
time and play it.
I don't know if you've noticed, David, we have pre-taped at least half of the guests we've had on.
And yeah, because it's late.
It's late, right. So I understand. People don't want to do it, you know. So I'd rather have them on, you know, on pre-tape than you know, not at all. So.
Well, Larry, if you're listening there, do a pre-tape show with Jim. You know, maybe not to be long, maybe 15, 20 minutes, a little back and forth.
Yeah, thank you, David. I appreciate that.
And then another one I would have is Jennifer from down in San Diego.
So now, well, I've talked to her, too. She apparently has some stuff going on in her personal life that.
Okay, that's
it. Yeah. Now, the amazing thing is, though, we're going to have on. I don't like to talk about people, and I haven't actually booked the day. We're going to have on another co-founder, the co-founder of the College Fix. He is coming on.
Okay, sure.
So we're arranging for that now. So
yeah, and then another fellow, it would be nice to come on or whatever, is back at the other show, was the fellow by the name of Don Zorro.
Yeah, I'm working on that too.
He's a entertaining guy.
And I'm glad you brought that up, because I'm going to have him watch this also.
Well, Don. Hey, Don. And yeah. Larry, I'm not getting paid for this.
No, I know. You're not.
I don't want no money, because it puts me in another stupid bracket. I don't want to go there, right?
Yeah.
So this is Jim didn't coerce me or put a this. No.
No, I would never do that. You know that.
Because I missed the show, the weekend show, because as I said before, it's like a few guys are around a coffee table at a Starbucks.
Yeah.
Or the wonderful coffee. You ever heard of Pete's Coffee?
Yeah, of course I have.
Which is from Berkeley. Very, you know, much.
Right.
It's wonderful coffee. Anyway, around a coffee, you know, just talking about life and stuff.
Yeah. I got to admit, I don't know. How, you know, I've been thinking about how we can replicate that here. I don't know if that's possible. This is a different type of deal, and it's a different type of medium. But go ahead.
But like, okay, so let's say somebody else called right now.
Yeah.
Do you have to put me on hold?
No. I don't know if you remember the second time you called in, we had a third guy that called up. Right. So no. As a matter of fact, if I'm right, I think we can accommodate up to six people at a time. So,
okay, fine.
Yeah.
So basically it could be done, but they all have to call in it on the live show.
Right. That's correct. Right. That's right.
But again, the time, I mean, it's where you are now. Was it 10 o'clock at night? Or
yeah, it's 10:58 right now.
Well, 11 o'clock. I mean, that's a little tough, you know?
Right. That's the thing. If we're going to do like a panel discussion like that, it pretty much has to be live. We have to do it live. So,
right.
Yeah.
Right.
Now, I don't know if you heard this, but I'm making plans for November 21st. The 22nd is the 60th anniversary of the JFK assassination, but that's also Thanksgiving. So we're not going to do a show on Thanksgiving. So the night before, I'm trying to put together a big blowout show where we'll have a big panel to talk about stuff. So that might be the first time we actually do this. So
that's wonderful.
Yeah, but Don Zorro, no, I'm working on him.
and there was another lady that came on your show occasionally. If I kind of remember, I think she used to live down in Southern California, and then she moved to Tennessee or something. She wrote books or something. I think she was a black lady, very good, very good.
Oh yeah, yeah. Oh Jesus,
very good.
She
moved with her husband or something.
Yeah, and it's like her name's on the tip of my tongue, but I know who you're talking about. She writes for Red State, right?
Yeah, she's great.
Yeah, she is, yeah.
She's great. It'd be nice to have her, you know, a little segment or something.
Yeah. No, I'm working on all these people. I am. So
I'm a fan club, so I'm just
I appreciate it.
Out there.
Thank you. I truly appreciate it. I really do.
Of course, because, you know, me and my girlfriend, we go on Saturdays. We go up to Marin County to go shopping, right?
Uh-huh.
Grocery shopping, because San Francisco's too crazy or anything.
Oh, holy shit! I gotta stop you on this. I'm assuming that the grocery prices in Marin County must be fucking outrageous.
Oh, yeah, of course.
Right.
Like a lemon, a regular buy a lemon.
Yeah.
Is 99 cents. Organic is $1.50.
Yeah. Yeah. So you know, I don't know if you know this, David, but here. In Minneapolis, we have basically the best luxury supermarkets in America. That whole thing started here. So we have there's a supermarket called Lunds and Byerly's, there's one called Kowalski's. It's very, very nice, but they're very expensive, you know?
Sure.
So I'm kind of figuring that maybe Marin County would probably be like that too.
Well, I think, well, there, I mean, it's, first of all, here it's all expensive all over, even the basic, like a Safeway is expensive. But I think part of it up there is they charge a little more because the clientele up there have a little bit of money.
Right. That's the reason I mentioned that. I kind of assumed that.
About,
right.
About 99% liberals.
Yeah.
99%.
Yeah.
Actually, but they sure like to get the free samples.
Isn't this amazing how this happened over the last 20, 30 years? It used to be that the conservatives were the rich people. Now it isn't.
I don't know what happened. I have no idea.
Yeah. Yeah. I want to thank you for calling. I think I'm going to let you go because I think I'm going to go because I don't know if you heard the top of the show, but I'm doing this interview with Dr. Moore tomorrow, I got to wake up really early, and I'm not good at this, so I wanted to cut this short tonight. So
anyway,
that,
I just wanted to call and see how's it going.
No, I really appreciate it. You call anytime you want, honest to God, okay?
Thank you so much.
Okay, thank you.
And I appreciate you listening to my input about the other guests and stuff.
No. I truly, truly appreciate it.
Because I don't know how they feel, but they're truly missed.
Yeah.
They don't know it, but they're missed.
Yeah. The other thing is, I mean, you know, I'm trying to expand the pool here, get more people. You know, my goal is to have a guest every night, you know, but man, it's a lot of work. And right now I don't have a producer or anything like that. So I'm hoping that maybe I got some stuff in the works. I might have some help here coming up shortly. So we'll see.
Wonderful. And I just say quickly, I noticed that your following now is up to about 130 people.
Yeah. On Rumble. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. On Rumble. I only talk Rumble.
Well, yeah, same here. It's like I don't want to get into the weeds here, but we're on eight platforms, and Rumble's the only one I pay any real attention to.
quick before you leave, is it, all those platforms? Is it really advantageous to have eight platforms? I mean, I don't.
Yeah, but I don't want to talk about that on the air. It actually is. Yeah.
Okay. Well. Yeah. You say in Spanish, silencio, por favor.
Yeah, yeah. So, but I just assumed eventually we'll get banned from YouTube. I mean, I'm such a cynic. You know, we're conservatives, and I just figured sooner or later they'll just pull the plug. So,
I wouldn't even mess with them. I would do Rumble for starters.
Yeah. Well, the irony is we're on YouTube primarily so that we can feed stuff into our website directly. It's a technical issue. So, but I won't bore you with that either. It's like that's
But it's interesting because on YouTube you could say some F-bombs. They don't care.
They're okay with it. The thing we can't do is like, and you know, everyone when I started this, they're saying, well, you're going to get people showing your boobies and stuff like that. And nudity we can't do. We can't do nudity, but the F-bombs they're okay with. Yeah.
Okay. Well, honestly, F bombs or whatever, but the private parts, people should grow up. If you want to do that stupid shit, go to a booth or something.
Well, right, I know that. And the thing is, I mean, I can very easily kick somebody out, so that's not a problem. Right. So,
sure.
You know, but yeah, that's not tolerated by almost all the platforms we're on. But
that's just, I mean, if you want to do that stuff, just, you know, go whatever, you know.
Yeah, but you know, honest to God, this is apparently. But we're the first show in America to take video phone calls. And this is wonderful. You know, everyone was saying, well, this, you know, that, you know, you're getting people show their junk, but no, so far, no, hasn't happened. So,
hopefully people are sensible, right? Come on.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, you're asking for people to be sensible?
Well, I'm hoping.
Man, your expectations are super high.
Well, remember, I'm an old timer, so it'll be easy.
Well, I am too. You know, I got a friend of mine who said, he says, I just assume the demographic for your show is old man. I thought, yeah, probably. Who are we fooling, you know?
Well, that's right. Cut through the chase, right?
Yeah, right. Okay, that's Jim, right.
You got to go. Hey, I'll talk to you again.
Oh, hey, once again, thanks. I really appreciate it.
My pleasure. Be
thanks.
Good now.
Yeah.
Okay, Jim.
Take Bye-bye. Care. Bye. That's David from San Francisco. As you might have mentioned there, David, a longtime fan and caller of my previous radio shows and all that sort of stuff. And I like him. And he calls up, and he should not feel that he, you know, he's never going to wear out his welcome. He doesn't have to worry about that. So, you know, I don't know where we were at on the discussion here, but I have to tell you, I'm wrapping this up because normally we go a little longer than this, but like I said, I got a big day tomorrow. I know no one cares, but I'm not alert in the morning. I'm not good. So I got to wake up just a couple hours ahead of time just to clear my head. So I'm going to sleep, or at least I'm going to try to sleep. So tomorrow, Dr. Patrick Moore, wake the kids, wake the neighbors. You got to see this. I'm serious. This is, you know, this will be a very consequential show. So this guy will tell you in no uncertain terms and in very scientific terms why climate change is bullshit. And you need to hear this. So I appreciate you guys watching. Thank you. What's my call out line? It's good night, Uncle Donnie, wherever you are. Oh, and here's the new end card. Here you go. Here we go. Bye.